During the reign of Maharaja Yudhishthira, the cloud showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to his fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Please repeat after me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. The necessities of human society are food grains, fruit, milk, minerals, clothing, wood, etc. One requires all these items to fulfill the material needs of the body. Certainly, one does not require flesh, fish, or iron tools and machinery. During the regime of Maharaja Yudhishthira, all over the world, there was regulated rainfalls. Rainfalls are not in the control of human beings. The heavenly king Indradev is the controller of the rains, and he is the servant of the Lord. When the Lord is obeyed by the king and the people under the king's administration, there are regulated rains from the horizon. The rains are the cause of all varieties of production on land. Not only do the regulated rain helps ample production of grains, fruits, but they combine with astronomical influences. There is an ample production of valuable stones, pearls, grains and vegetables. Can certainly sumptuously feed man and animal, and fatty cow delivers enough milk to supply man sumptuously with vigor and vitality. If there is enough milk, enough grains, enough fruits, enough cotton, enough silk, and enough jewels, then why do people need cinemas, houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, etc.? What is the need of artificial luxuries, luxurious life of cinema, cars, radio, flash and hotels? Has this civilization produced anything but quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into hellish factory and war? Fills at the whims of a particular man. It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with milk because their milk bags were fatty and the animals were enjoying joyfully. Do they not require, therefore, proper protection from a joyful life of being fed with sufficient quantity of grains in the field? Why should we, man, kill cows for their selfish purpose? Why would man not be satisfied with food, with grains, fruits and milk, which is combined together with produce hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes? Why are the slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals? Maharaj Parikshit, grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthira, while touring his vast kingdom, saw a black man attempting to kill a cow. The king at once arrested the butcher and chastised him sufficiently. Should not king or executive head protect the lives of poor animals who are unable to defend themselves? Is this humanity? Are not the animals of a country citizens also? Then why are they allowed to be butchered in an organized slaughterhouses? Are these the signs of equality, fraternity, and non-violence? Therefore, in contrast with the modern advanced civilization forms of government, an autocracy like Maharaja Yudhishthira is far superior to a so-called democracy in which animals are killed and man is less than an animal, is allowed to eat, is allowed to cast votes for other less than animal man. We are all creatures of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord himself is a seed-giving father and that material nature is the mother of all living beings in all shapes. Thus, the Mother Nature has enough foodstuffs for both animals and man by the grace of the Father, the Almighty, Sri Krishna. The human being is the elder brother of all other living beings. He is endowed with intelligence more powerful than animals. For realizing the course of the nature and the indication of the Almighty Father, human civilization should depend on the production of material nature without artificially attempting economic development to turn the world into a chaos of artificial greed, power, only for the purpose of artificial luxuries and sense gratification. This is but the life of dogs and hogs. Om Jnanam Trimandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshulamitam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sahagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Itam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bayo Vaishnave Bayo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtata Dishatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Kamam Avashya Prajanya Sarva Kama Duga Mahi Sisichu Smavrajan Gava Payoshodha Swatir Muda. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the cloud showered all the water the people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to his fatty milk bag and the cheerful attitude, the cows used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Before I begin, I'd like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnava, all the devotees here. Please bless me that I may say something relevant to the purports and the translation here. So, I mean, there's a lot here in the purport that Prabhupada gives a lot of emphasis to the cow protection, to the land. When there's enough things, why do we need to search for something new? This is Prabhupada's questioning. Yeah? When there's enough food grains, there's enough minerals, enough cotton, everything that is required for the necessities for a human being and the cows and the animals. Yeah? Because it is explained, Ananda Chinmaya Bhashya, that an, the grains, is the first form of happiness that one tastes. So why is there a need for all the other things that is mentioned here? Prabhupada explains, what is the need for slaughterhouses? What is the need for cinemas? What is the need for all the other things that we actually hanker for? It is explained there are four basic principles of life that are required for the human being and the animals and all living entities: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the four basic principles of requirements for all living entities. Whether it be the King of Heaven, the principles are the same. There is no difference. In the heavenly kingdom, things are done in much more polished up way. The human beings, we sleep on beds. The animals sleep on the ground wherever it's required. We require so many things, we think. But Prabhupada very emphatically explains here that food grains, a shelter, if we look back 30, 40, 50 years ago, life was much more simpler. I'm sure not all of you are old enough to remember this, but life was a little bit more simpler without the mobile phones, the Wi-Fi, the internet. The modern civilization has come to such a state that everybody wants everything and wants everything now. There is no patience. If the Wi-Fi isn't working, people become very frustrated. Why is this happening? But is that the requirement of our life? We need to understand what is the principle, what are we trying to learn, what do we need to do? Here Prabhupada says, therefore, a contrast with the modern advanced civilization form of government and autocracy with, like Maharaj Yudhisthira. So we've been reading from the Bhagavatam, from the previous verses, how Bhishma Pita leaves his body, and then Maharaj Yudhisthira also, he instructs Maharaj Yudhisthira in the administration of how to administer people. And we understand that when there is a good leader, everything will follow automatically. But how does one become a good leader if he is not a good follower? The first principle is that we have to become a good follower before we can become a leader. So if we don't follow the principles that are set out here in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we expect that, oh yes, you know, I can become a great leader. But if we fail to follow the basic principles, then there is no chance. There's no way that we can make advancement in the way that is explained here. That everything is supplied, everything that is required. Prabhupada mentions in many of the purports that we simply need some land and cows. But the way we live, the modern world is working, it is going in a totally opposite way of what's been explained here. And because we're not actually following the principles, we can see that there is so much chaos. At the moment, global warming is one of the biggest fears of mankind. And we have to analyze why this is happening. Prabhupada wrote this purport back in the late 60s, 70s. And he's saying, what is the need of these factories? What is the need of all this metal tools. Eh? So if we take ourselves back a little bit and see, Prabhupada, when he wrote this, he could foresee in what direction we're going. We're going totally in the opposite direction of what Maharaj Yudhishthira set forth here. Because Maharaj Yudhishthira was a great, not just Raja, he was a great Rishi, that he was following the orders of Krishna directly. The reason Maharaj Yudhishthira was doing this is because we see, if we'll just go back a little bit, prior to what's happened, they were all assembled on the battlefield. There was a fight between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and the war was between Dharma and Adharma. So Krishna wanted a rightful king. Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra were not the correct, right people to rule. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, when he took over the kingdom, you can see that everything there is in abundance. When everything is in abundance, sometimes what happens is we take things for granted. That just like, when there's a lot of wheat around, people think, oh, now I have to try something new. So we can see that when there is a good leader, there'll be advancement. There are many centers within ISKCON. We see Bhaktivedanta Manor is flourishing because there are devotees who are following the principles that are set here in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So if we follow these rules and regulations, how does this affect us? It's explained that Prabhupada mentions many times that he's done the basic foundations for our movement, but he wanted the one ashram system to take place. That, he said, I leave for my disciples and the followers of this movement. And one ashram system is divided into four varnas and four ashrams. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. And when one is Brahmachari, he is sent to a school, to a Gurukul. But this day and age, we see this existence is not there. So how can we expect the future generation to take up the good values? Because life is based on values and morals. When we have no values and morals, what can we expect? The morals begin, each one of us is a leader in our own rights in whichever way, whether it's small, big, nationally. Within family, a father is a leader. If the father doesn't set a good example, how will the children learn? In the same way, if you look, it goes on and on, nationally, internationally. We see leaders making statements in democracy that, yes, we'll give this, we'll do this. But soon as after they're elected, there's nothing delivered. We see many times people will promise to get the vote of the general people in populace. Once they have the vote, then it's a question of filling their own pockets. That, how can I do this? How can I get this? How can I achieve what I need? But the example is Maharaj Yudhishthira. That he's not just thinking of the humanity, but he's thinking of all the living entities within his kingdom. There is a nice story within the Ekadashi storybook. There's once a king named King Mandata. He was a great ruler. He considered all the subjects to be like his own children. Then after some time, there was no rainfall for 3 consecutive years. So if you imagine that when there is no rainfall, what happens? Drought, no food, famine, people become restless. So within his kingdom, some of his subjects were becoming restless. So he inquired that, why is this happening? So he went to the forest to inquire. Then he came across a rishi. And the rishi asked, King, why are you here in this forest? So he described that, you know, I've treated my subjects like my own children, but within my kingdom, there's no rainfall for 3 years, and I need to find out why this has happened. So the rishi explained that there is a shudra within your town that is performing austerities, and this austerities is the cause of the drought in your kingdom. So I explained that really this one ashram system, unless one follows what the one ashram system is, if the wrong people start doing the wrong things, then there'll be chaos and havoc. So as it was within this case of King Mandata, so he's advised that he should kill this brahmana, this sudra, who is performing great austerities. So the king said, oh, that's the, you know, even though it's a rightful thing for a king, but King Mandata said, you know, I cannot do this, but is there another way that I can actually overcome these obstacles? So the rishi explained that if you observe this Ekadashi, then there'll be plenty of rainfall. So the king went back and observed this Ekadashi, and in due course of time, obviously the rain fell, and everything was back to what it was originally. So we can see that the rainfall is not within our own control. The modern technology, modern science is making great leaps and bounds of advancement, it thinks. But the basic necessities of life, as soon as the rain stops, we see that, you know, this is part of the global warming problem. We can see just a few days ago, there's been great flooding up in the north, Yorkshire and other places. In this country here, we were not used to flash flooding, right? 20, 30 years ago, it used to rain, but not the way the climate is changing in the last 10, 15, 20 years. The change of the climate is to such an extent that when it rains, it's like monsoon. This country had never experienced monsoon, but now is experiencing monsoon. That it floods because it's not used to having such heavy rainfall. And when there's drought, then, you know, it's so dry that they're looking for water. You know, the leaders cannot solve the problems of humanity in following the democracy. Because democracy is, as Prabhupada said, demon crazy. They're not there for the people. They're there for their party and the community that they work with. And we see all the problems come from this. And because without rain, how can there be food grains? The first form of everything that happens, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita in 3.14, all being subsist on food grains. And food grains are produced by rain. When there's performance of proper yajna, the rain will fall accordingly. In this day and age, if you look around and see, how many people can perform yajnas? you know, nationally, internationally, town, villages, very few people are performing any yajnas. But really, the best form of yajna is Sankirtan yajna, the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated it. Yeah? That he knows that in this age of Kali, everyone is not going to be able to do any of these things. No one is going to be a real Brahmana. No one's going to be a real Kshatriya. So the only way that one can make any advancement in our spiritual life is the chanting of the Maha Mantra, this Sankirtan Yajna. If we perform this Sankirtan Yajna, then, you know, all these things that we're talking about, these slaughterhouses, we can have some impact on it. There is nothing more than being a good example. If we become a good example in our life, then people will see that, oh, these Hare Krishnas, you know, they're a very good example. They live by what they say. They follow what they say. Eh? Prabhupada says, achar and prachar. Yeah? That if we preach and we don't practice, then that makes us hypocrites. That there is some degree of advancement in it, but it's not to the degree that it should be. And there are those who practice but don't preach. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that we should become an ideal example. And if we become that example, then, as I said earlier, that how can one become a good leader if one becomes a good follower? So if we follow these principles in our life, then at some stage, not due to our ability, but just simply by following the principles, following the rules and regulations, we will come to a stage that we can become a good leader. Because every one of us thinks that this is not my duty. We look around, we think, no, you know, there are already leaders there. I don't need to be doing this. But if we follow what the leaders tell us, then in due course of time, we'll be able to set a good example. But until then, it's very difficult. So the basic principle is chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, associating with the devotees, partaking in prasadam. Prabhupada says that, you know, there are certain things that have eternal benefit, not just in this lifetime, but in many lifetimes to come. If we listen to the Bhagavatam, if we recite the Bhagavad Gita, association of the devotees and partaking of prasadam, all these activities, we don't realize, we just take it for granted because somehow, due to the mercy of some devotee, we've accepted the process of devotional service. It hasn't come about by our own strength or desires, but due to the mercy of some devotee somewhere along the line, it has come up upon us. But we think, oh yes, okay, you know, we're following. But until we actually not just follow, but we practice, it becomes, our advancement will be stagnant. We may be in the movement for a very long time, but if we simply forget to follow the fundamental basic principles, and Prabhupada's slogan is just simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It appears so simple that even a child can do it. But once we start, we think, yes, we're actually enjoying this. Because initially, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a taster, and it's a free of charge. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a free taster. So in the beginning, we're very enthusiastic. That we want to do the morning programs, we want to follow all the principles that we can possibly cram in, everything that we can possibly do that we want to follow, because we're very enthusiastic, utsaha. But as time progresses, we think, oh, I already know this. I've been doing this for all these years. And this is the beginning of our downfall, that the moment we think, oh, I already know this, I've already heard this, I've already done this, this is the fall down of our spiritual life. Because Prabhupada would not have said that if we just simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy, the formula is so simple, but as we begin, we realize there are rules and regulations. There are do's and don'ts. And we find it difficult to give up the don'ts. We like the do's, but not the don'ts. Because something that, you know, it's not just from this lifetime, but many lifetimes, we've acquired these senses. As Prabhupada says here, what is the need for meat eating? But for someone who's been eating meat all their lives, for them to give up, because they haven't acquired the higher taste. In order to acquire the higher taste, one has to give up the simpler things. And this is where Prabhupada says that just simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we find that chanting is quite a task. For myself, it's a big task also, so I'm speaking for my own realization that a certain number of rounds can go very nicely some days it's difficult, but perseverance is the key, that if we persevere somehow, it's like the medicine. That medicine is bitter, but it'll give us a cure. It will cure us. But provided we take the medicine, and the medicine is that even if we don't like chanting, we have to still chant. And that's what will cure us. Prabhupada here explains about greed also, that there is enough for man's need, but not for his greed. Prabhupada illustrates a story that if we leave some grains out on the road, if we leave some grains out on the road, some bird will come, eat, and fly away. Some other species will come, eat, and go away. A cow will come, eat the grains, and walk away. A human being will come. What will he do? He'll just not just take the grain, all the grains that is there, but he'll look for the source. Oh, where did this grain come from? So I can stock up so much that my generations to come will have the needs, it's there for them. So illustrates the greed in the human beings is to such an extent that when there is enough for our needs, but when there is greed, there is never going to be enough. On a reflection, I can say for my own self, back 35, 40 years ago, I'd just passed my driving, just to pass a driving test was an achievement. But then, once you pass your driving test, then you think, oh Krishna, if I just have a car, any old car that will get me from A to B, I'll be so happy. Krishna, please, this is all I want. I just want a car. This is my own reflection. This has happened to my own self. Then what happens? Once you have that a car to get you from A to B, then the desire comes that, when you're driving, you see somebody with a a better car. Huh? You see somebody with an automatic car and all the other gadgets and everything, you think, oh, wow, you know, I wish now I also can have this. Huh? This is our nature. Sometimes we accept it, sometimes we don't accept it. This is my own reflections. I know that greed within my own self is there. And I pray that this greed is for Krishna consciousness. That if we have this greed that I really want to become Krishna conscious, then this advancement we'll be able to make. But if we don't, you know, if the greed is for the material things, as Prabhupada explains here, you know, what is the use of these factories? What is the use of this? You know, is employing hundreds and thousands of people. People are traveling hundreds of miles, but do they realize the pollution that is causing by traveling all these miles? The effect is having on this global warming, the ecozone, and all the rest of all the other things is there. The human being is the cause of all this, and somehow we think that, you know, everything is going to be okay. All of a sudden, all the countries have realized the emissions from the car are so bad, even the manufacturers have led the people on, lying to them. So people buy their car, that this has low emission. So you can see even the manufacturers are lying about things so that people get enticed. If something is advertised to say, you know, this has low calories, most people will think, oh, this has low calories, so let me just buy this. We're all guilty of, in one way or another, maybe I can't speak about everyone, but I can speak for myself to say, you know, all these thoughts go within our head. And we think, yes, you know, these things are there. Let me try it. And the moment we try, we become enticed. Prabhupada gives the example, just like the deer. It likes to hear nice music. When the hunter plays the flute, the deer becomes enticed with that sense, the sense of hear. So just imagine, we as human beings, we have all the senses. How much enticed we are. Hearing, smelling, taste, touch. The moment we get to feel something, we think, wow, okay, you know, I think this feels good. We're all guilty of it. From mobile phones to iPads to all the gadgets. And somehow we convince ourselves to think that, you know what, actually this is yuktahar, that I'm using this in Krishna's service. Krishna knows. Krishna's there seated within our heart as Paramatma. He knows that when we are using something for Krishna's service, and the perfect example is Prabhupada. Left India with 40 rupees. In 10 years, opened up 108 temples, but never said, oh, I did this, or I have comfort for this. There are many examples, many, many examples, when Prabhupada was traveling, especially the quarters of Prabhupada quarters in Juhu. They weren't ready or anything, but Prabhupada never, on the contrary, there's an example back in America when Prabhupada was there traveling, a devotee booked a 5-star hotel for Prabhupada. And devotees were quite eager to think, you know, we can go give Prabhupada some luxurious things. And when they took Prabhupada, when they mentioned to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, no. I'd rather be in the association of devotees, even if the rooms aren't ready, even if I have to sleep on the floor. But this is Prabhupada. The moment we get a chance to go to 4-star, 5-star hotels, we like to indulge ourselves and think, you know, I just need to rewind a little bit because I've been doing so many things. I've been working so hard. I've been doing, you know, preaching, I've been doing all sorts of things. Let me just rewind a little bit. I need this time to myself. And enhance, this is not using for Krishna's service. We like to think we are at times. Not saying everyone is like that. I'm giving my own example because You know, at times I like to go away and think, oh, you know, I've worked so hard for the last few years, I deserve a break. Huh? We like to think we deserve something because we've been doing it. Aham. Aham iti manyate. That I'm doing all these things. But really, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. But we like to think that we're doing so many things. And this is why Prabhupada here explains that there is no need of cinemas. There is no need of prostitution, slaughterhouses. Eh? These, on the contrary, go against all our principles. Eh? The four regulative principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, eh? No illicit affairs. Totally goes against the four regulative principles. So if we indulge in any of these things, what are the chances that we will make any advancement in Krishna consciousness? Yeah? As I mentioned in the beginning, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a taster, a free taster. You know, when we go out to many places, people, they give out free tasters because they want to promote something. By tasting that, we become attached. Yeah? But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us a free taster of the holy name to say, here, try it, taste it. Yeah? But then, you have to put the effort in. Then you have to put the work in. Once a taste is there, then you have to put the work into it. Unless we put the work into it, there is no way. Eh? We're chanting and we're thinking, you know, at least I'm chanting my rounds, I'm following the principles. But if you're not making advancement in our Krishna consciousness, it's not advancement that we can make a judgment on. The judgment would be from others, because others can see in us what we don't see in ourselves. Because if we're making the advancement in Krishna consciousness, people will naturally say, oh Prabhu, you're doing this very nicely. But sometimes the ego also comes in, that we can become puffed up from praises. So at every moment, Prabhupada says, is like walking on a razor's edge. Krishna consciousness is like being on a razor's edge. One wrong move one way, we can fall down. So there is, at every stage, padam padam vipadam, at every step, there is a danger. And in order to stay away from the danger, if we associate with the devotees, Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not just for the name, not just for the fame, but for one's well-being, for the well-being of every living entity. And if we take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, who was very nicely situated in the Radha Damodar temple, he didn't need to come out to the West. There was no need for him. But because he took compassion and the orders of his spiritual master, it's the only reason, it is due to the mercy and compassion of Prabhupada that any of us are here within this movement. Without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, none of us anywhere would have made any advancement in Krishna consciousness. We would have been all in our own little worlds. As I mentioned even in the last class, that in my own way, you know, I was in the pubs and, you know, having a good time, but there was a perseverance from devotees, Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandha Prabhu, that, you know, the perseverance of saying, oh, please, at least come to the temple. At least come to the temple. Once you come to the temple, you know, if you become a little inquisitive, you ask questions. So I started asking questions. And thus, due to the mercy of other devotees, it is not the mercy, it's not the effort of us individually that we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Our work is only part of the requirement. Just like Maharaj Yudhishthira, here, you know, he waited. He could have been the king earlier. But he waited until Krishna said, now you become the king. Huh? So this was, and here within the Prabhupada also, Prabhupada explains that there is no need for all these other material requirements. If we just simply, even within our movement, there is a great need for self-sufficiency. We all depend on Tesco's, Asda's, Morrison's, Marks and Spencer. But at every period, there is some influence. And this influence of self-sufficiency at the moment, at least from my perspective, is not a great need, is a need, but it's not there. Because most of the children, if you think, you know, you ask them, where does this come from? Their general answer is, oh, it comes from Sainsbury's, Tesco, or Asda. They have no understanding of the agriculture system, how the grains are produced, how the grains are, you know, grown. These things are not there because the education is not there. And as leaders in our own right, as individually and collectively, all of us have some responsibility to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's ultimate desire was that there should be one ashram system within our movement. And for that, you know, we may not become the leader for it, but at least we can become a follower for it. Everything begins from ourselves. So this is just some thoughts and reflections from my own purification. Any comments, corrections?